The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
Last week, I had mentioned that it seems that over the past years, money has become a big issue. I mean, you know, come on. You can't turn the TV on unless there's something about money. Our Congress, our country, someone's ripping someone off. There's the IRS, you know. I mean, those money-grabbing guys, they just, you know, I mean, politics. Someone told me once that politics... The definition of politics has a two on that word politics. It's two words, poly and tix. The poly means several, many, and tix is a blood sucking parasite. Politics, yeah. And so, you know, with the money issue, it is the housing burst, and everyone is just, you know, grabbing for money. I thought it would be a good time to speak about money in the church. It's kind of a taboo thing. Don't talk about tithing. Old people will leave. Don't talk about giving. But I tell you, God just put this on my heart before we start another book in the Bible to teach on. So last week I started to actually see what God says about money, says about giving, so we can all relax about this issue, this word, contentious word of tithing. And so, have you ever heard, again, some of you here the last week, it's a little mundane for you, but have you ever heard these words on TV or radio? If you don't support this ministry, we're going off the air. We're going under. Threatens the pleading and whimpering, almost crying radio evangelist. Well, you won't hear that on our radio. I won't allow it. Or if you don't support this work, you can't go on, cries the sweaty, obnoxious televangelist. You ever seen those guys? They're always sweaty, aren't they? Or maybe you have an obligation to supply the needs of this ministry. The wide-eyed, loud, and charismatic traveling evangelist might plead. And so it is, folks, that I understand why people dread teachings on tithing or money. You kind of squirm a little bit. Oh, here he comes. He's trying to get in our pocket again. I understand that because of this dreaded and sensuous pleading for money so many times that the church does as a whole. After all, in my opinion, the principle of giving has been misused many, many times for so long that it's actually been a taboo. But check it out. The scriptures actually says this. I have never seen a righteous begging for bread. I have never seen the righteous begging for bread. Psalms 37:25 declares. I think David said that. So truly, if there is righteousness in a ministry or in a person individually, one that knows Christ and loves the Lord, such a one will never need to beg for bread. Remember what we said last week? When God guides, God provides. And that is so true. Haggai 2:8 tells us this, reminds us that God's not broke. He doesn't need your money. He owns all the cattle on all the hills. He reminds us that he owns all the silver and all the gold. God is not broke. So we need to understand, and we had a life lesson last week, that actually tithing is not his way of raising cash. He doesn't raise cash by your back pockets or your pocketbooks. No. Instead, it's his way of raising his kids. Raising his kids. We spoke last week about the sensuous of our greediness. Now, everyone has a small portion of greediness in us. Some of us more than others. It's just innately put in us. I told the story of five-year-old kid, and he came up and he wanted a dollar, and I gave him a dollar, and accidentally I gave him a $10 bill and a dollar bill, which I didn't know. I was talking to someone and kind of gave it to him, and he comes back a little later. This kid's 6 years old. He's bright, sharp. And he comes back to me and says, Pastor Ben, you gave me two, the 10 and the 1, so here's the 1 back. We all know, don't we? We have that. Well, this morning I want to give the last two reasons, which we had 4 reasons, why the tithe was instituted here in Genesis, in the book of beginnings, by the way, before the law of Moses, and why it continues throughout the entire scripture. 4 reasons. Last week we gave 2, you remember? Does anyone remember the first one? Got your notes there? Anyone? Come on, guys, you're making me look bad for my mother-in-law. Liberation. Thank you, ma'am. Liberation. Yes, it liberates us. Tithing is a way to liberate our tendencies of being greedy and grabby. It just does. God knows greediness leads to unhappiness. Last week, remember these quotes. A billionaire himself, Andrew Carnegie, said this, quote, "I have seldom seen millionaires laugh," unquote. Another one from Donald Trump, quote, "I am not a happy man. Frankly, my best friends are buildings." That's sad. You've probably heard that before. So money doesn't make you happy. Greediness doesn't make you happy. Every time we give to Him, the Lord, we give away part of our greediness. God knows that. Thus, giving, tithing is a way to liberation. Amen? And then last week, again, we spoke about not only liberation, but destination. It gives us a destination, doesn't it? From cover to cover, the Bible calls us to set our hearts on things below. On things on earth? Not at all. On things above. This is just a vapor. This is just a small portion. This is just nothing, really. No, our real life starts in heaven, after life. Yeah, our real life starts for us in heaven. It's eternity. That's forever. That's the real deal. Not now, not 80, 90 years here on earth. And so it's the Lord tells us in His Word, throughout His Word, to set the things of our lives, not of this world, but on things above. Jesus put this way. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. And we read that scripture last week. And all those other things, it's the things we're striving for in the first place. Like clothing and money and cars and chariots and all kinds of different things there that we saw that we read in that portion in Matthew that Jesus said. He said, look, all these things here, look, if you just put me first, I'll give them to you. Now, He doesn't promise He'll make us millionaires, but He says He'll give us what we need. But put me first, He says. Put me first. Why is that? Why is He so into making sure that we are heavenly bound? Because of this. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, Jesus said. And so, if you're all up into Mercedes and homes and boats and beach houses and things of that sort, then what's going to happen? Well, your heart's going to be here. It's not going to be up there. Now, in and of those things, it's okay. You know, it's all right. It's okay to have beach houses. It's okay to have nice cars. It's okay to have a home, IRAs and things of that sort. But if you put those first, if you just put your treasures in those, it's not okay. And I had a funny story last week. I won't go there about having a little bit of stock here at the church and how we just really, you know, every day when we had that stock, we looked at the stock markets. That was a big deal. But then, you know, one of my board members told me, sell it. We're not a stockbroker. We're a church. And so we sold it. And after that, we never looked at the stock exchange again. It just wasn't important. That's a real simple kind of an example of where your heart can be. And so the Lord knows that we need to keep our hearts focused, not on earth, but on heaven. And if you put those things first, if you just continue to be concerned about, now, I got to pay my house off. I got to get 14 jobs. I got to have a boat. If those things are so into your mind and your heart first, God says you're pretty much hooked onto the earth. But he says, put me first, and those other things are okay. He says, but put me first. And we spoke about all that last week. And remember the last of the review this morning. Jesus talked more about money than he did about heaven. I love this portion of scripture because a lot of people say, you know, if you talk about money, some people, they get upset. Well, Jesus did. He talked about money a lot. He talked about money more than he did heaven. Matter of fact, he talked about money more than he did hell. In fact, he talked more about money than he did heaven and hell put together. So why is it taboo? Well, I believe there hasn't been accurate teaching on this subject, scripturally, of money. And then last week we went into a little bit of Luke 16, where God actually tells us we can send that money ahead. We can pay it forward, if you will, because Luke 16 tells us that, look, the money that you have here on earth, the money that you have here, it's called unrighteous manna money, okay, that you can take that money and do great things with it here on earth that will make a result in heaven. You can pay it forward. But do we? And that was the last of the subject matter last week. Oh, we did say one thing last week. We said that maybe a very poor person might say, well, I'm not going to have much money, or I'm not going to have much reward in heaven. I can't pass it forward because I only have a little bit of money that I come in and put in the offering plate just to... Jesus said, well, wait. Remember the widow? Remember the widow's mite? A half a penny that thing was. A half a penny. And when she put that thing in that little plate, and all these Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes were putting big bucks in there, what did he say? Does anyone know? Yeah, I know what he said. He said, this lady has given much more because she gave out of sacrifice. It's important. Now, I know we don't have any millionaires in here. I don't think, unless there's a guest. But I don't want to step on your toes. But look, a millionaire can come in here, give $100,000. Okay? But maybe a single mom with four or five kids comes in, and she gives a dollar. Well, in our view, oh, wow, the $100,000. But in God's view, that dollar is much more important because it's sacrificial. That millionaire, $100,000, it's 10%, but hey, he's got a lot more. For that lady, for that single mom, maybe a widow, sacrificial giving. So, liberation, destination, which brings me to the third reason why God instituted the tithe in the beginning, the book of Genesis, and continues throughout the scriptures, is evaluation. Our evaluation, if you're taking notes, folks, how do we deal with money determines how we'll do ministry. Oh, good, I can hear someone saying in my mind, I'm not in ministry. So I can just shut down, take a little nap this morning in these nice, comfortable chairs. Not so. Remember, if you are a believer, you very well should have a ministry. It could be your own family, all the way up to the family of God. But if you're a believer in Christ, you have a ministry. It could be anything. Helping people out. You can even have a ministry to yourself if you're single. Of being like, you know, and we talk about having a ministry to yourself where you're, you know, staying pure and you're doing right and you're reading your word and you're reaching out to other singles. So if you're a believer, you have a ministry. And money determines how well you do in ministry. Luke tells us about this money thing in 16:11. He says this, if therefore, it should come up on the board, 16:11. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous manna, money, who will commit to your trust in the true riches of things? Sounded by Jesus, of course, 16:11. What's he saying? He said, if you're going to be, look, not only Jesus says this, but I've worked for many people, employers, that will say, if you can't be trusted with this truck, or if you can't be trusted with this or that, then why? How am I going to give you a bulldozer to operate? Does that make sense? Of course it does. And so in the kingdom of God, again, if you want to be used by the Lord, you must understand that according to Luke 16, our scripture, the foundational question is this, and Jesus asked you this morning, how do you deal with money, period? Yes, Jesus said, if you can't be entrusted with money, how in the world can you be entrusted with the true riches of the kingdom? Now, folks, I'm telling you, when I studied this area of scripture years ago, it blew my mind. I didn't think God cared about money much, especially when you get to heaven. But he does, evidently, because he says, you can't be trusted with money here. How can I trust you with things in heaven? That, by the way, I believe, I think you'll agree with me, are much more. They're much more valuable. In fact, D.L. Moody said this, quote, I can tell more about the spirituality of a man by looking at his checkbook than I can by looking at his prayer book. Isn't that true? Unquote. I find this true across the board, even in my own home, even in my own life. We all do. Yes, it's true. You see, church, we can sing, I love you, Lord. Pretty good, wasn't it? I've been practicing. And I have decided to follow Jesus, but gang, check this out. I just have to be honest. Scripture says, if we don't put our money where our mouth is, it's all meaningless. Just all words, just cheap talk. So, liberation, destination, and evaluation. They're all wrapped up in the principle of tithing. Kabish? See, Mom, I've taught these guys. Yeah, pretty good, yeah. Now, speaking of Scripture, some of us might have been misled scripturally concerning the law of Moses. You know, the law of Moses versus tithing. I've heard this. Such a one might say, wait a minute, Pastor, tithing is part of the law, isn't it? And by the way, aren't we free from the law? Absolutely free from the law. We just finished Galatians, the book of grace. We are because the finished work of the cross, we're free from the law. We are no longer under the law of Moses. But as seen in the text before us, and we read it last week, and let me read one verse here. And he gave him a tithe of all. That would be Abraham. You see, Abraham went after Lot and his family because they were kidnapped. And so he rescued them and he came back, and there were two guys there waiting for him. One was Melchizedek, priest. And the other one was the Prince of Salem, which is a symbol of Satan or the enemy. And so Melchizedek, which was a Christophany of Jesus Christ, that only means an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. And so they're both standing there, and Abraham gave of all the spoils that he collected during the war, he gave Melchizedek a tenth of it. A tithe, the Bible says. Now, the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. Isn't that the way Satan is? He's always wanting something. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing, not even a thread of a sandal from you, because I have tithed. And so, tithing is a principle of the beginning of the book of Genesis. Just not in the law of Moses. It was added to the law. As seen here in this text, tithing predates the law by 500 years. Not only that, Jesus said tithing should be left, and if you want to write this down, it's very important because people will tell you, oh, there's no mention of tithing in the New Testament. That's wrong. Jesus himself said that it should not be left undone, recorded in Matthew 23:23. You write that down if you like and take a look at it. And then specifically in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, we see the early church tithing. And so it's throughout the whole New and Old Testament. It even gives us an example. Jesus tells us, gives us an example of it in the New Testament church, how the New Testament church tithed and then was able to help the ones that needed help, benevolence. By the way, because of your tithing, I want you to know, last week we did some huge benevolence work, and it was wonderful. We really were able to help some people out. And that's God's heart, isn't it? So, if you're taking notes again, seen before, during, and after the law of Moses, the tithing is timeless. It is timeless.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.